Do you believe that Satan knows what your weaknesses are? I think he does. Probably knows them better than we do. This morning, we're going to look at dealing with stress and worry. And quite frankly, this is a personal issue. This is one of the biggest struggles that I have had in my life, is how do we deal with stress? How do we handle it? Satan certainly knows that I struggle with it, that worry gets in there and sinks its claws in me, buries those roots, and I struggle and struggle. Christians should not be in a constant state of worry. And I hope we'll see that by the end of the lesson here. This is something that we need to learn how to handle. Have you ever been overwhelmed with worry and stress? I imagine most of us have at one time or another. You ever felt like you just couldn't get out from under it? And the more you did, it just sort of seemed like things pile on more and more. You know, we can get so stressed that we can barely function. I just wanted to mention a couple of the physical things that worry can cause to happen to us. Now, have taken all of these from WebMD. Physically, it suppresses our immune system. That ain't good. That's a problem on top of whatever else is going on. It causes digestive disorders, which many of our group here can attest to that fact. It causes muscle tension, short-term memory loss. I didn't know that. That would explain a lot, actually. Premature coronary artery disease, certainly heart attack. We're familiar with that. The stress and worry can lead to such things. It can lead to depression and suicidal thoughts. Spiritually speaking, it can be a sign of weak faith. If I am constantly in a state of worry and stress, it may be telling me my faith's not what it needs to be. If I'm constantly putting myself in that situation. Go back to Psalm 55. That being said, even the most faithful have found themselves in worrisome situations. The question is, how do they deal with it? And here we have David. Psalm 55, I'm going to pick up in verse 4. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. If I could just run away from it all, I would. I am overwhelmed, David says. I'm afraid many of us stop right there. And we get mired down in the worry. We say with that, oh, I wish I had a way out. Now I'm just going to stress out over it. But David doesn't stop there. If you keep reading in this same psalm, drop down to verse 16. Where we might keep spinning our wheels here and just letting the stress get worse and worse. Notice what David does. Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Look at the confidence he has in his Lord. Verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to call upon him. And I'm not just going to do it once. I'm going to do it constantly, because I know he is the one who can help me through this. Drop to verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So not only does David say, I will call upon the Lord, he will help me, you can do it too. Verse 22. All of the faithful, the righteous, call upon him, cast your burden on him, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You trust in him as your rock and your foundation. You won't be moved. What a powerful psalm. What a great point. David understands he can't do it himself. He knew he couldn't. He knew he couldn't handle it all by himself. And I wonder if that may be our problem. It may be my problem. Is when stress comes, I get my job and God's job mixed up. And the things that I can do absolutely nothing about, those are the things that I absolutely freak out over. And yet the things that I could do something about, well, I'm too busy worrying over them to actually do something about it. I wonder if that's part of the problem. Because David understood, look, some things God's going to have to handle. I can't do anything about this. Lord, this is yours. I cast my burdens on you, and I trust that you will handle them. So let's talk about some of those things this morning. I think there's some different types of stress, and I don't think I worded this very well. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a second. Different ways of approaching, perhaps, stress. There are some things that you and I cannot control and we cannot influence. That is absolutely the case. There are some things that are simply beyond me. They're beyond my power. They're beyond my realm of influence. Give you an example. North Korea's nuclear program. What can I, as an individual, personally and directly do about it? Not a thing. Can I freak out over it and lose sleep over it and make myself miserable and drive my wife batty talking about it all the time? Yeah, I can. What good is it going to do? I have no influence whatsoever. I certainly have no authority or control over what goes on there. I can't do it. Can God? He does. He does have control. He does have influence over that. So these things are not out of God's realm of influence. He can do something. So what do I need to do? I need to do what David did. I need to take my concerns to the one who can and then let him deal with it and stop taking it back. That is one of my biggest problems. I'll go to him in prayer, Lord, I can't do anything about this. Here is my burden and I'm laying it at your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate it. And then I take it right back and start worrying about it again. Same old thing over and over again. I say the right things. Lord, I know you're the one. You're the only one. And that while I'm saying it, I'm sticking it back in my pocket and stressing out over it again. We've got to give it to him and let it go. That's what David did. When everything seemed bleak and helpless, he went to the ultimate source of help. And he turned those worries over to God. Now, I think there's another category. I think there's a category of things that I cannot control, but I can influence them. I can't control, but I can exert some influence on those things. And I believe under this category would fall the behavior of others. Even breath. I cannot control how others behave, but can you exert influence on that? I think we can. We can. I can't. They have a free will. I can't make them do what I want them to do, but I can study with them, right? I can show them what God's Word says. I can be a good example to them. I can do my very best to be a light and influence them that way. I can pray that God will act, will soften their hearts. I think about those who are sick, especially, certainly June comes to mind, those who are very sick. I cannot heal them, right? Can't do a thing in the world to heal them. Wish I could. God can. God can also put them at ease. If it's not His will to heal them, He can give them comfort and ease. He can do those things. I can pray that He help them. I can pray He'll be with the doctors. What else can I do? Because I can't heal them. Can I take them and their family food? Can I sit with them and talk and just try to ease some of the burden? Can I cut their grass? Can I clean their house? See, there are some things I can do, and you can do as well. I need to focus on that, because I think when stressful times come, what I do a lot of times is say, man, this is just too much. How are we going to handle this? And what I need to be saying is, what can I do? There are some things that I can take care of. I can influence, and I need to. Then, I think there's another category. Things I absolutely can control and can influence. There are some things I absolutely can control. My children's behavior. I can control that. Now, granted, they have free wills. I understand that. And they can act out. And they can scream and holler. They can. And I can take them out back. And I can light them up. I can do that. I can control it. And at this point in their life, I can control their going in and their coming out. They're coming in and going out. Right now, I can control that. It is not my responsibility to discipline your children, right? That's outside of my realm. So I need to let you do that. But mine? Yeah, I can. I have both influence and control to a certain extent, at least right now, over them. Even more so, I can control my behavior. And I think this is the big one. I cannot control how people react. I cannot control what people do, but I can control how I respond to it. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. What about when somebody pulls out in front of you? They cut you off. Driving through Atlanta, safest place, most calm and just relaxing place to drive on the East Coast. Just wonderful. What do you do when they pull out in front of you? How do you respond? Can you control how you respond? You can, right? Because when they do that, I can choose to yell and curse, and I can choose to speed up and get right next to them and do the pointing thing. I can do that. I absolutely can. Or I can choose to not be a psycho. I can choose to keep my mouth shut. I can choose to stay in my lane and be calm and not be a bad example to my daughters who are sitting right behind me. I can control. See, that is in my realm, isn't it? I can't control a thing in the world how those guys drive. But I can control my response. And I'm afraid sometimes we tell ourselves we can't. Well, he just made me mad. Who would do that? What's wrong with him? How does he even have a license? I don't get those out either. But I can respond how, or I can control how I respond to it. Isn't it ironic how stress works? When you think about it, the things outside of our realm of influence we worry ourselves sick about, the things within our realm of influence I respond poorly to, often saying I can't help it. See, I got it all backwards. And maybe this would help. When we get stressed over things we cannot control, we need to be praying, not worrying. Because what does worrying do about something you can't control? You ever thought about it? What's it going to do? It's going to make you sick, give you a heart attack, stress your wife out. You know, what is it going to do? If you cannot control it, you need to be praying. If you can control it, you don't need to be worrying about it. What do you need to do? Do something about it. If it's in your realm of influence, I don't need to be stressing out. I need to be doing whatever I can to affect it. I'm afraid we just miss the boat a lot of times. And I'm speaking to myself especially here. I'm afraid I focus on the worrying and not the doing. What can I do? I can't control some of this. What do I need to do? Let's look at some specifics. I can control my tongue. Contrary to popular belief, it is possible. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Choice silver is pure and it's valuable. Does that describe my speech? Would anybody say, I tell you, when he talks, it's like choice silver. It's just full of wisdom and purity and goodness. Does that describe my speech and yours? It should. It should. When people think of the righteous and what we say, it should be choice silver. Another one to go with it. Proverbs 10:31. The tongue of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. Does my mouth bring forth wisdom? Or is it mostly foolishness? Do people come to you for advice? Or are you the last person that they would come to? Do I talk about godliness or worldliness more? Brian mentioned that earlier. Really, the same idea. What are we focusing on? Our mouths are nothing more than extensions of our hearts. We talked about this a little bit in the class before. If my words are poisonous, if they are unwise, if they are ungodly, what does it say about my heart? It's bad. It's not what it should be. I can control my tongue. I can also control my temper. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man abounds in transgression. I can control, as we mentioned earlier, the way I react to a situation. You know, it is easy to blame genetics here. I had a good friend, and he would lose his temper when we were growing up. We would play, and I pestered him. I egged it on. But he would lose his temper and get mad, and then, you know, he'd throw stuff or throw me or something. He was older than me. And then at the end of it, he'd say, well, my dad has red hair. And yes, he does. He does. What was he doing? Well, my dad has red hair, so he obviously has a temper. And I'm his son, so I can't help it. I just have a temper too. I can control those things. Some other things too, and I don't want this to seem strange. I can control my spending because a lot of stress comes from financial stresses and issues. You know, swiping my debit card or credit card is entirely under my control. Did you know that? It really is. Unless you set everything up on auto payments, then I guess it's not. But before, when I see those things in the store that I can't live without, that I hadn't even thought of before I walked in there, I control what happens next. And I can.
Also put eating habits here. There.
Sometimes some people eat poorly when they are stressed. But that's my decision. I make that. I have control over those things. Turn to Galatians 5. All of these things do require self-control. And this is something Christians must have. I'm afraid that we heap a lot more stress on ourselves than we have to have because we don't have any self-control. And we just respond badly to situations a lot of times. Galatians 5, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There it is. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you have self-control? Because if you are a Christian, you must. You must. It is one of those fruits that we should be producing and showing in our lives. How do I respond when a stressful situation is on me? Do I lose control of these things? Because that's only going to make the stress even worse. Or would I be better served, instead of losing control of my tongue, losing my temper, spending and doing all these other things, would I be better served to take David's advice and go to the Lord? Now, so what do we do? What do we do? Stress is real. And some moments of stress are very immediate, like the traffic incident that I mentioned. You don't have time to sit around for 5-10 minutes and write down things and talk about how I'd like to approach this situation. That's immediate. We have to deal with that as it is. But a lot of the things we stress over, we have time. And that's part of the problem. We have time to think about it. And we think about it. We think about it. What do we do when those stressful moments come? Do I identify the actual problem? Or do we just react to sort of consequences of it? When we identify the actual problem, do we identify possible answers? And once we do that, do I separate them into God's realm and my influence? What I would encourage you to do. Next time a stressful situation arises, if it's one that you have time, take out a sheet of paper and write down the question, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? That may sound silly. You may say, oh, please. I'm telling you. If you are subject to stressing out over stuff, next time do this. Write it down and say, what can I do about it? The only thing on that list may be pray. And if it's the only thing, it's a good one. Just because it's the only one doesn't mean it's a weak one. If that's the only thing on my list, what do I need to do? Pray. And then what do I need to do? Go on about my business. That's the only thing I can do? So be it. If there are other things on there that are in my influence, then what do I need to do? Well, do them. Instead of just freaking out, I need to be logical, get to the point, give God His part, and whatever I can address, I need to do it. Let me pass along some advice that a very wise person gave me. A person well acquainted with how I deal with stress. She said to me, don't go down the rabbit hole. You know what that means? When the stress starts to come, how it hits, and then stress is a downward spiral. If you don't deal with it, you just keep going farther and farther and farther. And you'll heap more stuff. And stuff that's not even really happening will be happening in your mind. And you'll stress all of it. You'll go down the rabbit hole. We do that, we throw reason out the window. We dig ourselves deeper and deeper. We become more negative. Another piece of advice is there are more than two outcomes. We always think we know how things are going to turn out before they happen. It's amazing. When you get stressed, we all of a sudden become psychic. And I know exactly how everything's going to turn out. Here are the two possible solutions to this situation. And they are bad and end of the world. That's how I like to divide them up. When stress comes upon me. And I act like there is no other possible solution whatsoever. That is not the case. Most of the time, reality is a lot better. It's a lot less bleak if I'll just give it a chance and see it. Do you know stressed out people are pessimistic people? If we're stressed out all the time, we see things in black and gray, and that's about it. That is not the attitude of a Christian. I've got to fix that. Now, some things to keep in mind. Turn to Matthew 6. If you struggle with this, I hope looking at some of these verses has helped and will help. Matthew chapter 6. Keep this in mind because it's a bit accusatory. I'll be honest. Did you know that worry is for unbelievers? Look at Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He makes a comparison there to the Gentiles, who at the time would have been idolaters. This is what they do. This is what the idolaters do. They worry about everything. They worry about what they're going to eat, and what they're going to drink, and what they're going to wear, and where they're going to be. They worry about everything. You shouldn't be that way. Your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Mark your places there, but go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. When I doubt God, it is a sign of unstable faith. When I doubt that He can take care of my problems, when I don't trust Him as I should, it's because my faith is not what it should be. James 1, look at verse 6. Actually, going back up to 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If I come to the Lord, as we mentioned earlier, and I pray for these things, but the whole while I'm saying he's not going to do anything. He's not going to do it. He just can't help me here. He's not going to help me. If I come to him with doubting his power and his strength, I am an unstable, double-minded man, and I'm wasting my time. I need to understand who I'm talking to. Turn to Isaiah 26. I think this really gets to the heart of the matter. Isaiah 26. Look at verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. What does that mean? You will keep him in perfect peace. So if I don't have perfect peace, what does it say about my mind? It's not stayed on him because I don't trust in him. If I am constantly given to worry, the true heart of the problem is I don't trust my God like I should. Now that hurts, and that's not pleasant to say, and it may be offensive, but it's also true. I need to fix that before anything else is going to fix itself. I need to trust Him the way He's worthy of being trusted. Now listen, how should others look at you and me? How should others see us living our lives? Christians ought to be people with joy. We ought to be a joyful people in this life. Stress will steal our joy. It will make us miserable. And it will make it nigh impossible to teach anybody else the gospel if they see us eaten up by this stuff. Got you to Mark Matthew 6. Go back there. Matthew 6, verse 33. I need to put His kingdom first. Jesus Himself speaking here. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What about the clothes? And what about the food? And what about the shelter? And what about this? And what about that? If I seek His kingdom first, He will make sure the others are taken care of. Now, that doesn't mean that I just sit around and coast. James 2, verse 18, I'll show you my faith by my works, which means I'm busy working in that kingdom. But He will help. First of all, I have to be in that kingdom, by the way. The only way to get in is for God to add me to it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see that happening. We see the gospel being taught and people realizing that they are in sin. They repent. are baptized, and God added them to the kingdom. So I need to do that first before I have these blessings. And then back in Matthew 6, verse 34, take it one day at a time. I believe this may be one of my biggest problems. I like to deal with things about 6 months out, 6 years, six decades, whatever. You know, stuff that I can definitely control today, right? I need to take it a day at a time. I'm all for planning. Please don't misunderstand me there. We need to be logical. We need to plan. We need to do things. But you honestly can't control what's going to happen in 10 years. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I need to deal with today. I need to take it a day at a time. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And you know what? I take that to mean you got enough problems today. Why are you worried about tomorrow's stuff? Take care of today's first and deal with it. This is the great teacher, Jesus, giving us these pieces of advice. God is trustworthy. I need to trust Him more. If you struggle with stress, I feel you. I understand. We must understand God has never let His people down, and He never will. Why do we think He's going to start now with us? He will provide everything that we need. And another thing I've got to understand, I am small. I am too small to handle the stresses of this world by myself. But I don't have to. He wants to shoulder that burden with me and for me. But I've got to trust Him. Do you trust the Lord like that? Do you trust Him enough to obey Him? Go ahead and get your songbooks out.